The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I am Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And this is episode 64. Man, we are getting old.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember when this show was just a baby.
Like 2 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, like this is like right now would be our 2 year episode.
Is this our 2 year anniversary?
I guess. I don't remember when it started. But it started at the beginning of June, didn't it? Or maybe.
I have no idea.
Huh.
Well, if it was the beginning of June,
or
we
July.
Missed it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. But either way, yeah, we'll say it's 2 years. So have you enjoyed the past 2 years, Brian?
Eh.
Okay, yeah, we missed it big time.
Sweet.
It was June 14th.
Oh, look at us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have become so much more organized throughout the years. Yeah, if anything, this show has gotten less and less organized.
Worse?
I didn't want to say worse. It might be the right answer, though.
No, that's the correct answer. It's worse.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, so what have you been up to this past week?
Nothing. Might have a new gig, but I don't want to talk about it.
Dude, you never want to talk about your
well,
gigs.
Because, like, some people get really weird about it.
Some people meaning you?
No, like, you're not supposed to give, like, details of things.
Well, I can say just from what you've told me, I'm kind of happy you didn't talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. That one fell apart.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I've been just grinding away at my good old... I'm on call on my job, and so, yeah, all the entire past week while I've been off work, I've been working. And so it's been just pure nuts, but whatever. So I haven't had a whole lot of time to do a lot of things. That's what I'm getting at, just whenever I don't know of the news and haven't paid attention and all that other stuff, it's because of that and not because, you know, I'm just sucking.
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Well, yeah, yeah. But what are you going to do?
So speaking of which, do you have any news this week?
I do not. No, no, I have some, I guess. This isn't really news, but it's new to me. I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane over the past week. Does that count as news? Huh?
No. But how was it?
I liked it. I think it shouldn't have been a Cloverfield movie.
Well, it wasn't going to be a Cloverfield movie.
I know, and I don't... Yeah, but you don't take that stand with Die Hard 2. I don't understand what the difference...
I do take that stand with Die Hards. All of the Die Hards,
you just
actually
sit there, and you're like, this shouldn't be the entire time. No, I mean, honestly, if you removed the monsters from that movie, it would have been a better movie, in my opinion. But...
just them, you know, maybe crazy in a bunker.
Yeah, I mean, you would have had to rework a few of the other key scenes, but yeah, I don't know. I had mixed feelings. I enjoyed the movie, and John Goodman was awesome in it, and so was Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She's always great. So yeah, I don't know. I really liked it. I love Cloverfield.
Yeah.
And so this was just kind of like, it didn't really deserve to be there. What? The word deserve?
Yeah.
But
this comes off as so pretentious.
Yeah, well. So what do you got?
I have like two pieces of news.
Yeah?
Kind of. One, I'm sure you've heard of, that the Tetris motion picture will no longer be a single film, but a trilogy.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard that.
So why or how is a better question?
Dude, different lines. You know, you got to clear different lines. And I don't know. I mean, I don't understand how that movie's going to work.
No. I mean, because, like, there's not really a clear plot to Tetris. Some people have said that you're building spaceships for the Soviets.
For the Soviets?
And, yeah. Well, A, it's a Russian game, and B, have you ever played it?
Yeah. I mean, is that all the shit going on in the background or what?
Well, no. I mean, like, whenever you...
You're right, Brian. It's totally dependent on building Soviet...
Whenever you get, like, a high score, it goes off and it's got, like, the Kremlin in the back.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
And then you launch a rocket. And the better score you make, the bigger rocket you launch.
Yeah, but on the other hand, like... like, I don't know. It just seemed like... That was just something to put in on end credits for a game that had nothing to do with anything.
And it was the first video game ever played in space. A Russian cosmonaut took it up on a Game Boy.
It is an amazing game that gets totally discounted down to just like not really that cool of a game.
Who discounts Tetris?
Wait, you wanna school them?
No, I'm just saying, like, that game was... Dare I say pivotal?
You called me out for saying something earlier, and then you pull out a dare I say. No, I mean, it's a great game, but yeah, it seems like it doesn't get the love that it should. Yeah. Maybe I'm just talking to the wrong guys.
Maybe.
Just real anti-Tetris people. I don't know. That's bizarre. But
I'm still real into McCarthyism.
Yeah. It's just like just so right wing that they're like, no. Yeah, I don't know. That's cool, I guess. I have no feeling either way. It'll probably be like the Battleship movie, which I never saw. So
I heard it was actually okay.
Peter Berg directed it, and he's a good director.
Okay.
That's about all I got.
I mean, they could probably get like Scorsese to direct Tetris, and it probably wouldn't make any sense.
Probably not, but it'd have some really cool like coke scenes.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones playing.
I was just thinking about like the like T block just snorting coke.
Yeah, that's what you're building, just like a really cool like coke pad. I don't know. Is that what they call them? Coke pads?
What are you talking about? Like a house where you go coke?
No, I was just talking about like a little mat to that you see them cutting on, like a mirror.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they're just called mirrors.
Yeah, I guess we're so far removed from like drug culture that we don't know the terminology for things like that. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm just picturing you, like, talking to a bunch of cokeheads. Like, hey, can you pass me that coke pad over there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had an idea where the Tetris movie would... and they're like, we've already told you, we don't like Tetris. Screw communism. Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, all right. Well, what else you got?
Netflix... is rebooting Lost in Space.
Okay.
You also seem about as enthusiastic about that.
No, I mean, it's whatever. I never watched the movie of Lost in Space, but
one with Matt LeBlanc.
And was he in it? Yeah. Lacey Chabert was in it, right? When she was like 12 or something?
And so was William Hurt.
Hmm. Yeah, I never saw it.
Not good.
The movie
was not good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've only seen some episodes of the TV show. It was fun, but it just was like a family lost in space.
A much better version of that is Robinson Crusoe on Mars. Or Robinson Crusoe in space.
The one we watched on tour?
Yeah, with the monkey.
Yeah. Well, You brought it up, so what are your thoughts on it?
It's got some people attached to it. One of the producers from Prison Break. Then this might be a downturn here. The guys who wrote Dracula Untold, but also the new Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. And then one of the Game of Thrones directors is also attached to it, too. It could be okay.
Well, I will see that, and I will counter that with a better TV show coming out for
Westworld.
No.
Westworld.
Did you hear that the Russo brothers are bringing, like, they're doing The Warriors?
As a TV show?
Yeah, and these are the guys that did, like, the Captain America movies. So yeah. It should be good. It's going to Hulu.
Did they do the first two Captain America movies or just the last one?
They did Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Okay, so the
really good ones?
Yeah. Well, the first one was good, too. I think the Captain America standalone movies have been great.
They've been my favorite out of that camp. I mean, I guess when Iron Man 1 came out, it was like, cool. But by the time, I don't know, I'm my feelings, and people that listen to this know my feelings. But
oh, no, yeah. Please say it again.
But still, like, I agree. Captain America movies have been much better than the rest.
They've been really, really solid.
I still haven't seen Civil War, though.
It's good.
It's pretty much
Avengers 2.5.
I never saw Avengers 2.
So. That's fine. You don't need to.
Yeah. Did you see that Roald Dahl's, like, the BFG? You know how it just hit theaters past weekend? Mm-hmm. Did you see that it bombed terribly?
Did it?
Yeah. The Purge and something else led the box office. Was it what?
Free State of Jones.
What the hell is that?
I watched it yesterday. It was a Matthew McConaughey movie about the Civil War.
Oh, ew. You went and saw that?
It was good.
Well, I was looking for theater, like just showtimes, and I saw that that was a thing, and I clicked it. I was like, what in the hell is this? And I just saw like Matthew McConaughey and like a...
Just dirty.
Yeah, just
dirty Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, now... Okay, was he a Southerner in it?
Yeah,
okay.
Mississippi.
So he was fighting for the Confederate?
Well, at first.
Okay.
He was a deserter.
Well, see, I knew that there was no way. Either he had to put on a crazy bad accent, like, to be Northerner, you know, because he's Matthew McConaughey, or they had to figure a way to make him, you know, no one's going to do, like, a pro-South movie. So that's why you kind of blew my mind. Was that movie like good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a true story too.
Was it your idea to go see it?
No, we took my wife's dad.
Oh, okay. It just didn't seem like something you would have been like, dude, Free State of Jones.
It looked all right.
I've literally never seen anything of it other than just that poster online and was like, ew. Like, it literally got an ooh out of me. But anyway, no, Finding Dory and
yeah,
The Purge.
Yeah, probably Finding Dory.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have put the BFG so close to Finding Dory.
I'll bet you.
And they, also, is it even still relevant?
The BFG or Finding Dory?
BFG.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Roald Dahl. But yeah.
I know, but I mean, like, do kids today still read the BFG? Because I've never seen any of, like, I was going to say the kids I hang out with. But out of context, that sounds funny. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how relevant Roald Dahl is, but he should be pretty relevant. Like, to me, he's like one of those people. Who was the lady that did Super Fudge and all that?
See? Huh? It's like one of those people.
No, but I mean...
What's that person's name?
No, but she did like Super Fudge and all those books. Anyway, it just seems like all of Roald Dahl's books are under that like perennial favorite banner, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of a bummer to see the BFG totally bomb that bad. But
I thought that book was written way before then. 1982.
Oh, really? I thought it was in the early 70s, maybe late 60s.
It's an expansion of a short story from 1975.
Oh, okay.
See, I thought it was 60s too, because like, when else was Roald Dahl real active?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that explains why our generation read it.
Yeah.
It was a brand new book.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, it should, to me, it just seems like it's something prime for a classic. Like, it's Steven Spielberg doing the BFG, yeah. Right?
And not only that, but it was like a passion project of his where he was, you know, doing it because he loved it.
Yeah.
You know, not just like a paycheck.
Yeah, that's kind of like, what was that Scorsese movie he did a few years back? that was the same way. It was a little kid's movie.
Was it Hugo?
Yeah, Hugo. I was thinking, I know it's not Argo, but it sounded like
a little kid movie. It's about the hostages in Iran.
Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of sucks. Do what?
I was going to say, it doesn't really affect you in any way.
Well, I mean, I was really primed to, like, I wanted to see it, but on the other hand, I was going to rent it either way, so it's...
Yeah. See, it's, you're the reason why it bombed.
Just me. You saw that the director of the original Wicker Man died, huh?
I did.
Yeah, Robin Hardy. I don't know anything else he did, but that movie was bizarre.
And of course, you didn't look it up before this.
No. But I'm just trying to think some things to say up top, dude.
Cool. Maybe we should do some reviews.
You want to head on in?
I guess. I mean, I guess I could say one more thing.
Right.
Tangentially related to what I was talking about earlier, because it's also about Power Rangers.
Okay.
That Bryan Cranston is going to be Zordon.
That's what I hear. Do you think that's going to be good? Like,
probably.
I think he'll stick out as like the one actor trying really hard. You know, like just the one really good actor in it.
He wins an Oscar. Oh man, I don't know.
But I guess it's not that far fetched. He was in the Godzilla remake.
And he was also in the original Power Rangers TV show.
Oh, yeah.
He did voices for it.
Okay. Yeah, I remember them talking about that on something. It was basically, wasn't like an Inside the Actor studio, but it was something like that. And he was talking about his older work.
James Lipton hitting him hard with those Power Rangers questions.
He's just like secretly just obsessed with Power Rangers. Have you seen much of what's going on with this new Stranger Things TV show on Netflix?
No.
It looks really, really just crazy as hell. It's like what about it's about a kid that vanishes, but it's under like he vanishes under weird circumstances. It's got like Winona Ryder in it, which I'm always happy to see Winona Ryder getting work, mm-hmm. You know. It's her and like Matthew Modine, and it's like about this kid that he gets abducted or he goes missing, and then all of a sudden it looks more and more like it's either extraterrestrial or ghost, like just some weird stuff is afoot.
So, is it like a series or is it a movie?
It's a Netflix series.
Yeah.
It's got, it's hitting July 15th, 8 episodes, so that'll be cool, I think. Should.
I don't know.
Yeah. well, maybe it's time we do jump into reviews.
Okay.
What do you want?
I guess, you want to come back with Rear Window or Hollow?
Dude, let's do Rear Window first.
Okay. All
right, we'll be right back.
Man, okay, yeah, so we live in like the ghetto. It's like rough, they're just gangsters and shit. We have to keep
podcast
all the windows
makes
closed.
Us no money, we can't move.
Like there's like a shootout going on regularly.
Why do you say shit like that? Why does he say shit like we live in the ghetto and there's shootouts regularly? Just for the clarity of the podcast, there's not.
Two versus three, nerds with beers and opinions.
A weekly podcast hosted by Cody, Kyle, and Greg.
New episodes every Thursday at bmoviesandebooks.com.
All right, and we're back with the 1998 made-for-TV movie Rear Window.
Silver Screen Summer continues.
Starring Christopher Reeve and Daryl Hannah. Okay, so here's the synopsis. Modern remake of Rear Window in which the lead character is paralyzed and lives in a high-tech home filled with assistive technology. That really doesn't tell you anything about the plot.
No.
Or anything. But if you've seen Hitchcock's Rear Window, it's that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is and it's not. I will say that we'll get into that later. This to me felt more effective than the Psycho remake. I don't know that that's high praise.
The one with Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I like.
I haven't seen that one in a long time.
They kind of took the spirit of the original and then updated it. Because in the original, now it's been a long time since I've watched the original Rear Window, so I might be saying things that did or didn't happen.
I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Well, how recent have you seen it?
Probably last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe you should talk about it.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So from my memory, the original, he broke his leg.
Correct.
He was not extremely wealthy.
Mm-mm.
And he was an everyday guy, just kind of looking out of his window with a camera, and he started spying on his neighbors.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he wasn't poor. I mean, he was kind of well off. He drank a lot of brandy.
Dude, I can show you quite a few hobos that do the same. It's all in how you allocate your money, dude.
Well, do they have brandy sifters or snifters? And they just twirl it around?
Yes. Yeah. I hang out with the
classiest of hobos. Yeah.
I like also that I hang out with them.
Yeah. But they're really, really against communism.
It's the same group.
It's all the same group.
Yeah. No. So
this guy...
Yeah, this
is an extremely wealthy
architect. Yeah.
Everyone's an architect on TV.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Do you know any architects in real life?
Yes, my neighbor.
Really?
Well, she used to be an architect, and now she's not.
What does she do now?
She's an acupuncturist.
Does she do it from her house, or does she have a place?
No, she has a studio.
Okay. Yeah,
or a clinic.
Because I know you've gotten a few... You know, acupuncture is over there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I just always assumed she set up shop next door to you.
To the apartment?
Yeah.
No, okay. So, no, I think the reason why they do architects, because, my wife and I were actually talking about this recently, about why everyone on TV is an architect. But it's, one of those jobs where you can just say, I'm an architect, and people know exactly what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just an easy shortcut job.
Yeah, like my job, what I do, but you know my title and everything. You don't know what I do, though, right?
Not really.
Yeah, no one does. Like, even Kelsey, she's like, huh, so you do what?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's like you have a dude who's an architect, and you just have him walking around with those tubes of paper every once in a while, and you're good.
Yeah. Well, I guess... But the thing is, I realize architects make money, but why do they make so much money on TV?
Do they make, three entire floors of a building money?
No, they do not.
Because that's what he had in this movie.
Yeah, he must have been the best architect ever.
I think he owned the firm, or at least was partners in the firm.
Okay.
Because whenever Oh, spoiler alert. Christopher Reeve gets in a car accident and is paralyzed in this movie.
Yeah. Did you notice? Okay, so the beginning, it starts off with a lady driving a car, and then she goes, oh no! And then Christopher Reeve starts just barreling toward her, right? Yeah. Like his car. But it seemed odd that they would start with this character that's never seen again, but I guess it's to get around Christopher Reeve having to drive.
Driving. Yeah. So,
but they still could have just started it with him in the hospital, like, bro, you know.
You're in a car wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it goes from there. I don't know. It's an odd, not really an odd film, but just kind of an odd thing to sit and think about, like, how the dynamics between these characters work.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, Daryl Hannah. I keep wanting to say Daryl Hammond, but that's a guy. That's not Daryl her. Hammond is big. Yeah, so Daryl Hannah, she is new at his firm, right? But she goes to his house to work on a project.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would that happen?
Well, he insisted on being on the project because it was the project he was on before he got in the accident.
Uh-huh.
And he's not going to be able to go into work every day.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that there'd be a few other people involved in this project that he started before, not just him and Daryl Hannah? No, dude,
it is a multi-million-dollar skyscraper.
Go ahead and put the guy that may or may not have memory loss and a brand new person on it. Like, he had memory loss, and they're like, yeah. Go ahead and throw them on. We got evidently billion-dollar contracts that are even better.
Yeah, they're more important.
So, I don't know. That just seemed odd. Plus, the character, I don't even know the guy's name. He was like the male nurse. What the hell
Antonio.
Was up? Yeah, what the hell was up with him?
He had the realest Jamaican accent ever.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was really bad.
It was 90s TV Jamaican accent.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I like that they just kind of, his whole character was only just to give a few proverbs of wisdom, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just every once in a while. But, I don't know. It just really, really hammered the point home that this was a TV film, not even remotely trying to emulate Hitchcock. Except for in some of the, like, sweeping shots. Those were kind of stylistic, going from house or going from apartment to apartment, just staring in their windows. That was kind of stylish, but really,
and reminiscent of the original because they built the entire like block in a soundstage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a set.
Huh.
Yeah, he built like a 6-story building in a soundstage.
I like how they used to do shit like that, like. They just scrapped the Ten Commandments, like, all of their set. They threw it just out in the desert somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, like, now it's just like, yeah, just throw all these people up on green stuff, and we'll get it all in post. You know? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's cheaper, obviously.
Yeah. It's just not as cool.
And less time-consuming, because you can film and then have all that stuff being made while you're filming versus have to build the set first.
Yeah.
And have months of pre-production.
Now, I could be wrong, and I probably am, but probably. I think that the original had more of a cat and mouse back and forth between them than this.
It did.
This, it's almost like he, Christopher Reeves, just gets totally obsessed, which he does in the original.
There's no S.
Oh, Christopher Reeve, yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
Christopher Reeves is somebody else who played Superman.
Was it Christopher? I thought it was Jim Reeves.
I don't remember.
Or are you just talking about like at a high school play of Superman?
Yeah, the high school play of Superman.
Arthur Miller's Superman. So, no, he was like totally obsessed, like to the point of just stalking the guy. Like, bad. And I realize he's obsessed in the original, but on this, he's like, no, I'm sending that bastard a bunch of emails and, like, I'm on to you and all this stuff. Now, in the original, he sent a letter, right? Didn't he send something telling the guy? Or maybe he called him or something?
I think he called him, I think. I don't remember.
But he definitely didn't do like five or multiple email. I'm not that email was an option, but he didn't do multiple attempts to tell the guy, like, dude, I've seen it. You know,
paper airplane letters.
Yeah. You'll never know. The guy's picking up like a can on the end of string. You'll never know. But okay, so casting. All I was getting at was it seemed like he was a little more obsessed in this than in the original. But as far as casting, does it kind of feel like two things? One, kind of a gimmick for them to have cast him, and also put so much of the social commentary that at the time he was really pushing for, like the stem cells and stuff like that. There were those undertones of like, I will walk again, like all this stuff. Remember at the time he was straight up.
I don't know if it would be undertones, considering he said it probably a dozen times in this movie.
Yeah, well, the end of it, it was implied. Because he's like, I'll walk again. She's like, I know you will. You know?
But I mean, every time, like, every time somebody would mention, like, even tangentially something about him being in the wheelchair, he'd be like, well, until science finds a way to cure me, I'm in this chair. And stuff like that. Which I realized that that was, you know, a big deal for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he put a lot of money into research for, you know, paraplegics and things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like the movie was more about that.
More of a PSA than anything.
Yeah, it really did. It had this, like, you know, just a PSA feeling versus an actual plot to me. You know,
well, just the first half was heavily on.
First two-thirds.
It wasn't two-thirds, dude.
It was like 30 minutes before he even got to his apartment.
Yeah.
And then it was like another 30 minutes of them talking about all the cool stuff he's got in his apartment.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing was kind of odd about it. How long was he in the hospital before he goes to his house? Not very.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Not very long, right? But Antonio's talking to him like he's been in this wheelchair for a long time, right? Because he's like, you know, I'll bet you used to just slay ass, you know?
That's a direct quote, by the way.
Right? But, I mean, he was like, you know, I'll bet you used to do it. And he's like, yeah, I used to do pretty good, you know? And it's like, dude, that was like 6 weeks ago. You know? Like, it's been a little too close to the time of the accident for you to talk about. Especially in light of you saying, like, you know, I'm going to eat these stem cells and walk again. In light of all that, don't act like it's over.
Huh? Trail mix with stem cells instead of raisins.
No, I was just thinking of the South Park. Remember the Christopher? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know. Just some of their dynamic just seems so weird.
Yeah, it did. The whole movie was weird.
And spoiler alert. So at the end, when him and Daryl Hannah are okay, when Christopher Reeves and Daryl Hammond, when they're okay, and she all of a sudden is like, you know, I'm gonna have sex with you, right? But before that, there was no will they, won't they, nothing.
Like, no,
it was
they were like platonic work friends until that last scene.
Yeah, the whole thing, like. It really, really stunk of reshoots and him being like, all right, I'll be in it, but we're going to make a lot of it about my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. There was
a lot of problems with this movie.
It seemed odd.
I mean, plot wise, there was a lot of problems with this movie too. Like,
yeah, for something with the most simple plot ever.
Yeah. You see a guy kill a lady, the end. That's the movie. You know what was a better remake of this?
Disturbia.
Yes. Yes, what? It was.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf in his prime.
I like Disturbia, though.
I own Disturbia.
I can't be
I'm
there.
I'm pretty sure I went to the theater to go see it.
I did too, but I also went to the theater not knowing that it was like what it was.
Oh yeah, I didn't know it was Rear Window either.
And then I was like, "This is Rear Window with whoever I was with," and they were like, "What?" I'm like,
What? Hand me that Coke, Matt.
That's what I was thinking. These nondescript people I'm hanging out with.
No, like, I remember, okay, so I watched this movie a while back, and I wrote some notes down, but now my first note that I wrote, I can't remember why I wrote this down.
Uh-huh.
But there was, like, I can't remember who found the phone, but the fact that they had a phone was evidence that he did the murder.
Like, I don't remember why.
But okay, I don't remember either, but it just struck me as really odd that it's like the guy had a phone, so he must have done the murder. Well. But anyway, but no, okay. So he has this video camera that he watches people in the other side of the alley, right? Which is really skeevy, by the way. But it's the 90s. So it's a very large, like,
yeah,
it's one that's like you would put on your shoulder, you know, like to take old home videos with,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's mounted on this, like, I don't know, they call them like, gambles or whatever, that's sticking out the window into the alley.
Yeah.
Okay. The many times that the bad guy, was it Thorpe? Was looking out the window. How did he not see that? It's a huge, like, it's sticking like 2 feet out the window.
No, I got you. I got you. That was one thing that I was noticing, because whenever Thorpe sees him just sitting there, like, in the shadows,
yeah.
I was like, but he
slowly reels backwards into the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, he still sees that big ass camera rig, but mm-hmm. the other thing, I was confused how he was controlling it, because, you know, he controlled the thing with the little straw. Like, he straight up, I am not trying to sound callous at all on any of this, but he was drinking through a straw. The same like thing that he controlled his wheelchair with. He took a drink at one point through there.
No, she was giving him drinks with straws in them.
Well, okay. So he, even taking that away, he controlled his chair with the same thing he controlled the camera with, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. How did it know? Like, because he couldn't switch it. There weren't, I don't know. Maybe I was the only person.
His house was filled with tons of 90s magical, like, electronic equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
Voice acted passwords and stuff on the elevators.
Yeah, and the like voice dictation stuff, dictation software that he uses is much better than even exists now.
It was probably like an early version of Dragon.
Yeah. The good one.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you had to work with what you got. You know what I mean? And I know, and this sounds bad, but your leading man is, you know, in a wheelchair, right? But not like he's acting.
Yeah, yeah. he's actually quadriplegic.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think for what it's worth, he did a really good job,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it must be hard for an actor to emote without body language, right? Yeah. And I think he did a really good job. Did he have much to work with?
No.
Did it get a little, I don't want to say preachy, but did it get a little, you know, let's just go back to PSA-esque every once in a while? Absolutely. Was it a good movie? No.
No, you know, I was just biding time until Robert Forster showed up again.
Yeah,
he's awesome in everything he does.
He's really good in Heroes.
Yeah, I think he was great in Hard Eight, the Paul Thomas Anderson, like his first movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that was his first movie, but it was the first PTA movie I've seen.
It's Michael Forrester's first movie.
What?
It was his first movie. Robert Forrester's first movie.
Oh no. but yeah, I mean, any movie gets better with Robert Forrester in it. And this movie was not, you know, any exception to that rule. I don't have much more to say about it. Like, this is easily the shittiest thing we've seen during Silver Screen Summer.
Can I say one thing about spoiling the ending again real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So Thorpe kills his girlfriend, right? Obviously. He's a artist, like a sculpture artist.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And so naturally, by the time that you know that he killed her and you see what's going on, you understand where the body is. So yeah. It's not like this is a big spoiler. So he hides it in a sculpture, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they can't find the sculpture where it went or anything like that. And then it turns out at the end of the movie, the sculpture is in the lobby of the building that Christopher Reeve and Daryl Hannah were building, right?
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, why didn't we know that? And then it's explained away by like the stupidest thing. It's like, you remember that lobby art meeting you didn't go to?
And yeah, but didn't they x-rayed it and she wasn't there, right?
Well, it was like inconclusive.
Yeah.
Because it was metal. How are you going to x-ray through?
I don't know, man. This movie had a lot worse things going for it than just that.
No, and then it ends with the big close-up of the of the sculpture.
I was waiting for a hand to bust out of it.
The metal.
Yeah, dude, that honestly would have made more of an impression than this movie did.
Yeah, that would have been a better ending.
Just rip off Carrie's ending and let's go. Yep. So yeah, what would you give it?
1 out of 5.
Would you? I'm gonna go 2.5. I found it enjoyable. Like, I didn't think it was good at any point, but I thought it was enjoyable. It was just a terrible, terrible movie. So anyway, yeah, I'd say 2.5. 1 out of 5, dude. You'd put this up there with the worst that we've ever seen.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, it's not good. Like, okay, if the original didn't exist, do you think it'd be
1 out of 5?
Really? Still? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
All right. Well, that's all there is to say about that. We will be back with our review of Hollow by Martin Key.
You're in a zombie apocalypse. You have one weapon, and it's not a gun. What is it?
Like a scythe,
a car,
grenades,
like a flare gun, maybe
piranhas.
Bat,
a bat,
baseball bat,
hands down, machete.
It's obviously a lobo.
Loppers,
slingshot.
Yeah,
like a ground-mounted slingshot that shoots bricks.
Catch the 7 deadly questions on The Basement on a Hill. Hear all new episodes every Tuesday. The Basement on a Hill, horror and comedy for people who hate horror comedies.
All right, welcome back. We took a 7-hour break.
Turns out I had to go to work.
Well, I had a haircut, so.
Oh, equally important things.
Who's the real winner? yeah, no. So we are going to review Hollow by Martin Key, right?
Yeah, okay. That's correct. That's the book you read, right?
No, but you looked down as soon as I said that as if I made another mess up, you know, as I'm wont to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so it's now nighttime.
Yeah. We started earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's 7 hours later.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't even the morning. It was like 12:30.
Yeah, but I'm on vacation, and you didn't have to go to work, so it was the morning for both of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I usually go to work like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Right? And then it turns out, whoops, I had early students that I'd forgotten about because it's summer.
Yeah. Well.
And then this, you got a haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
So
my
all around eventful days for everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so you would think in that amount of time we would be able to find some interesting news or something to talk about.
Oh no, we'd be blowing our news for next week.
Good call. That is in 5 days when we record that.
God, oops.
But yeah, so anyway, this is the review of Hollow by Martin Key, by Emmy Keys.
Way to get back on track.
Yeah, not even looking for any sort of segue. Just this is what we're doing now. So, anyway, it's about a guy that develops kind of a what starts as what appears to be kind of like an abscess, and
or blister.
Yeah, and it ends up just tunneling endlessly.
Yeah, you just kind of gave away a lot there.
Oh, that's in the summary.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't read the summaries before I start reading the book.
Full disclosure, I didn't read the summary either, but that's what he led with. I found this on Reddit, actually. He was like, hey, check out my novella. It's free today, otherwise it's going to go up to like $1 or something, maybe $1.50. I don't know.
Was it on like Horror Lit?
It was just on Horror. And so I was like, hey, I'm down for free today and novella. So anyway, but he's like, yeah, blah blah blah. It's about a guy that, you know, just finds this endless void. And so anyway, but that's pretty much all that I would comfortably give away. I don't think ruins anything to know that there's this.
There's also not much more than that. I mean, like, the whole thing is all just existential horror afterwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like Cronenberg meets,
yeah,
like,
it was very Cronenbergian.
Meets, like, I don't know, physics.
Oh, man. This 7-hour gap sure has kept us on our game.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, earlier I was talking about how Robert Forster was in Hard 8. And then as soon as we quit recording, I was like, he wasn't in Hard 8 at all. That was like, you got to see who I was thinking he was. Like, no, I was thinking, for some reason, I was confusing Jackie Brown and Hard 8. Robert Forster's in Jackie Brown. Hard 8, it stars this like crazy old man, like, you know him. I realized.
Oh, that guy? Philip Baker Hall?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's who I was thinking, Robert Forster, whose character I thought he was. But yeah.
No.
Wow, that guy's still alive?
Yeah. Huh. He's only 84.
So, anyway, yeah. So, my apologies to anyone that was hanging on
to
every...
Robert Forster. He's a big fan of the show.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, back to the Hollow. So yeah, this novel, basically, like I said, it's kind of like Cronenberg-y body horror with pretty believable characters and strong writing.
There were several parts in it that reminded me of basically me and my wife, if we were in this sort of situation, I bet it would go almost exactly the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not speaking of y'all's dynamic. I don't know how it gets with y'all when shit hits the fan, but no, I mean,
I'm just talking about if something weird happened on my stomach all of a sudden, you know what I mean?
She would stay home and leave you.
Okay, maybe not that part, but the whole, like, prodding of it and stuff like that would totally happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a story to tell off mic. but no, that's what I'm saying. Like, they seem very, very relatable and realistic characters, which I think is probably the strongest point of this novella.
I would hope so, because that's pretty much all it is. You know, yeah, I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of scenes that deal with the like the larger picture, but most of it's just, you know, this main guy, whose name totally escapes me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So, you know, it's about this main guy dealing with this random hole that appeared in his body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't really know what I would do if all of a sudden I looked down and had this tunneling hole throughout my body. What I did find odd was over the weekend, I guess I bought this on Saturday, I don't know. Anyway, the day before this, I had a dream that I asked my wife what was going on my head, and there was like this crazy big void in my head, in my dream.
Weird.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, and
so
it was
this really hit home with you.
Kind of. I mean, in the dream, it also appeared that inside my head was wood. Eh. So, you know, that's dreams for you.
Like the inside of your head was made of wood?
Yeah.
Or there was like little logs inside of it?
No. Like, it was made of wood. It almost looked like a woodpecker. Like, got at my head in my sleep, and I'm also made of wood in this scenario.
Have you been feeling like you aren't in control of your life lately?
No, I did look it up. It's stress.
Yeah, is it some sort of like Pinocchio type thing?
I don't know why.
Strings on you?
But they say that usually it's an inadequacy in wherever the void appears on your body, like in your dreams. And so they said when it's in your head, it's stress, being overworked, which makes total sense this past week. Now, of course, dream interpretations could all be full of shit. And maybe I have a wooden head.
You need to go see a good gypsy.
Yeah.
Like one of those like gypsy fortune tellers.
Yeah.
You know, get your dreams interpreted.
Dude. I think one day we ought to have like a special episode, because you have a lot of psychics by your house. I mean, yeah, not specifically next to your house. You're not
my whole road is psychics, and then our apartment,
and then acupuncturists.
Yeah, and then our acupuncturist who works out of her studio in quotation marks.
Yeah, I swear she has one.
She's in between studios right now.
But I think, oh, is she?
No, I'm saying, like, so she has to do it out of her apartment.
Yeah.
But I swear she has one.
Yeah. No, I think one day we really should go get, like, our palms and shit read
for a special
episode. Dude, you know what? Also,
you think they'd let us tape it?
Of course. I mean, we're paying them. Like, oh, you don't want us to tape it? All right, well, we're going somewhere else. There's a shitload of fortune tellers around here.
We should do it to two of them. Yeah. And see if they say the same things.
You know, I'm superstitious and gullible.
Let's do an undercover fortune teller expose.
I'm down. I am superstitious and gullible enough that they're like, if I'm like, yeah, well, we'll just leave, and they're like, don't leave, I'll put a curse. I'm like, no, here, take all my money. Oh my god, just lift the curse.
Someone whose name has the letter A in it is going to get just like crap like that.
Yeah.
I'm so down. Let's do it.
No, I think it would be great. It would be awesome content. And plus, I think that we'd learn a lot about our lives, because that's all totally real. Dude, I really... though, what would you do if they hit it just straight up on the nose?
Well, like, how specific is it?
Like, specific enough where they're like, Brian Allen Delaney. Oh, well, dude, that's an easy one. Everyone listens to this podcast. No, but I mean, how specific would you need?
Well, if they're just going to be like, oh, you're going to come into some money, and then you like come into some money, that's just confirmation bias.
What if they're like, you're going to come into some money, and here are the serial numbers, and started listing them off bill by bill? I
would probably believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Remember whenever we had these friends that went to do an ayahuasca vision quest?
Yeah.
And remember what I
yes
did Like, basically, they claim that they would be able to astral project, you know, while on these vision quests, this ayahuasca and vision quest. And so, anyway, I was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm writing down a number. If y'all can astral project, you know, y'all can make it all the way from Peru to here. And I put this number in my desk drawer. And then they did not astral project. However, he got the number right, which was weird. It was out 1 to 1500, and it was like 127. He got it right, which I found.
I love how you made that like super hard for him. Not like a two-digit number or anything like that. He's going to give you from 0 to 1500.
Well, the thing is, I had to know, you know? But yeah. Still, I mean, it's still inconclusive, but it still was totally bizarre. We actually had a podcast of it. It was a 4-hour podcast that we recorded about their ayahuascan vision quest and all this crazy shit. And then the podcast, it screwed up. And
it might be salvageable.
Yeah, it could come out one day. It was a crazy story, though.
Yeah. All kinds of weird things and lion gods and stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Lots and lots of crazy stuff. So
existential horror.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I really liked this.
I did too. Book. I found, like, I'm finding it very, very hard to talk about specifics on this book because of, because it's a short, you know, it's a novella, and it's, you know, you can't really give too much away. Otherwise, there are literally like 3 things you could give away to ruin the story,
yeah.
And one of them has already said. So I don't want to give too much away. I do highly, highly, like, honestly, as highly as I can get, if you're into body horror, you know, Cronenberg and all that kind of stuff, I highly, highly recommend reading this.
See, okay, I agree with you, but then not. Because, I mean, yes, the underlying, like, idea behind it is very Cronenberg-y. How many times are we going to say that today? Like, just like some sort of body horror, yeah. Right? But it's not like you're watching Videodrome or something like that.
There's
this one thing that's body horror, and it's dealing with it. You know, it's like if you were watching Videodrome and the part where he pulls out the VHS tape out of his stomach, if it slowed down and went in his inner monologue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I got you. It's like,
oh, where's this videotape coming from? That sort of thing. But better written than that, obviously.
Yeah.
That's my first draft.
I totally agree. Like, it doesn't go into, like, being, like, all the grossness of most body horror.
But the idea is there.
Yeah, and what do you do with that information? And how do you continue to live your life?
Yeah.
Knowing that you have this endless void.
Now, I will say, as sort of a spoiler teaser, there is more to it than that.
Much more.
But you don't really well,
not
get
much
it.
Much more.
You don't really get it till about like 2/3 in.
Yeah.
After you.
I will say that at that jump, whenever something happens to take the story in a totally different direction, at mm-hmm. first I was kind of disappointed.
Really?
Yep. I thought that what happened before should stay consistent. I can't really get into it without spoiling what happens. But anyway, I think what happened before should have stayed consistent, but by the end, I was very happy it didn't.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, I really liked the ending. Like, the last sentence.
The last sentence is my only problem with it is I was expecting that.
Well, yeah, I was too. But I'm glad it was just left at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no way really not to expect the last sentence of it because it foreshadowed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, no, okay. So, really, I don't think that I can give too much more without I mean, I know it's kind of a short review, but I can't give too much more without.
No, I mean, like, I think it was well written. Like we said earlier, the characters were realistic and relatable. The whole idea, honestly, if you think about it, is terrifying. Just.
Yeah. No, it's horrible, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's good stuff. I mean, it's not gory. It's not gross or anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess it's a little gross, but, you know, it's
like, I think the people that are freaked out by like those hole pictures, like the Photoshop. Oh, yeah. And, shit
and
like
he mentions that, he must be on Reddit a lot because I have seen those pictures that he's talking about.
Yeah.
On Reddit.
Dude, they're on there and they're also like, they're like Facebook ads and shit, like on the side.
Really?
where it's like,
oh, it's I've seen it where it's like, use this cream to help your skin and junk like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a Photoshopped picture of seeds in some guy's hand. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, no, there's a whole subreddit devoted to it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's actually kind of creepy, but, I don't know. Like, I really liked it a whole lot. It was up my wheelhouse, and I hope this doesn't come off as the wrong, like, as a bad thing.
But this story forever.
I mean, it was relatively clean. I don't think there was any cursing or anything.
Was there?
But it read. Okay, so if you took out those, it read, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. And I'm sorry, Martin Key, but
like
it read like a really good Goosebumps.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, if Martin Key or any of the Keenanites are listening, we devote an entire month, a year to just Goosebumps. So
that's definitely a compliment from me.
But then we spend that entire month bitching about how bad Goosebumps are. I mean, full disclosure.
I still maintain that I Live in Your Basement is an amazing book. Amazing.
I thought you were just going to say, I still maintain that I Live in Your Basement.
No, I Live in Your Basement is amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it got like a 4.5 out of me.
Yeah, I pulled it out. So, so what would you give this?
Honestly, like 4, 4.5. I really, really liked it.
I'd say a 4.5.
I hesitate saying, yeah. I mean, I wanted to hesitate saying 4.5 because it's so short. But honestly, 4.5.
Yep. Totally agree. 4.5 out of 5. This is a phenomenal short read. I mean, it takes you, 30, 40 minutes, if even that. Like, but phenomenal short read. And it piques my interest to see what else. Dude, we've been so fortunate. As far as like what we cover on this podcast, because it seems like for a while now we have not had really bad anything, you know.
Do you remember that last review we just did on this episode?
No, I'm talking about books. Like movies are always hitting.
Great.
Yeah, but I mean, have we ever had a 1 out of 5 book?
I think so.
I did the Accidental Exorcist 1 out of 5. I hated that book so bad.
Yeah, it was a little preachy.
So, anyway. But all right. Well, yeah, that's about it. I would, you know, say pick it up. I don't know if it's on Kindle Unlimited, but it's well worth 99 cents.
Definitely worth 99 cents.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do tonight?
I've been doing some website stuff, so probably cool. That.
Yeah. Yeah. I am going to finish watching God Bless America. It's just one thing I wanted to say. It's on Netflix right now. If you haven't seen it, watch God Bless America. So good. Have you ever seen that? Have we talked about that?
No.
It's kind of like a comedic falling down.
Sorry.
Like, it's Bobcat Goldthwait did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he directed it, and it's like just this guy has
enough. We talked about it on the Willow Creek episode.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it hits Netflix fairly, like pretty often, but it falls off every once in a while. I noticed it's back on. I don't know how long it's been back on, but every time it's on, I'm like, dude, I gotta watch it. I should just shell out and buy it, you know.
Yeah.
But
or just like videotape it off your TV.
Yeah. Yeah, and just. Just hold my iPhone and get like a real shitty one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like a cam video of your own TV.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't really have a whole lot else to say.
Well, we already did reviews or the ratings and stuff. I thought we were done.
Yeah, yeah. We are. Toxic City's back.
I know.
Did we mention that last episode?
We did.
Okay, well. Nothing new to report. No,
we do have one or two other shows coming up, though. Like, new shows, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know that we can talk about them.
Oh, no, I'm not going to talk about them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Because then if they don't happen, I'll look like a liar.
So, tentatively, Toxic City is going to drop on Fridays from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's cool. So, make sure and subscribe to the B&E Master Feed.
So you don't miss any new upcoming shows that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah, like B-Movies and E-Books. Basement on a Hill, formerly Scary as Shit. Two versus three. Adventures of Toxic City, and the two that shall not be named. And so, anyway. But yeah, that's all I got. So you good?
It's up on Facebook and Twitter. At Beanie Pod, that sort of thing, I guess.
Yep.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Terrible endings.
Yeah.
All right.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.